Welcome back to the TM podcast. This time is episode 4. And today we make a little switch. Instead of deep diving into special topics like freight unit building, tendering conditions, like we did before, today we go horizontal. So we want to talk about one process, but end to end. And we picked one of our main processes for LSPs, for logistics service providers, the LCL consolidation process. So less than container load. We will explain what it is later, but we first, as usual, start with a short who's who. So we have some LCL prominence here today. So I'm very proud to welcome Stefan and Matthias here. Maybe you can introduce yourselves, give a little background, TM background, and then we can go LCL.
Yeah. Stefan first. I'm Stefan Förster. I belong to the product owner team for TNL and look after forwarding freight forwarders processes. And since a couple of years, I actually have a special task and take care of the DHL implementation project. I support that from the development organization. And maybe I mentioned that some years ago when this was developed, I was the product owner for the LCL process scenario before it was handed over actually then to the IBU industry solution management.
Nice. So that's already nearly as good as it gets for LCL, but we can even have a second perspective with the same dev from Matthias. So maybe you can introduce yourself as well.
Okay. So thank you for inviting me to that podcast. So my name is Matthias Koch. I'm also, as Stefan, a product owner in the product team of the transportation and logistics. And I'm working with the other big customer we have in freight forwarding industry with Panalpina since the beginning. So since nearly 5 years in the meanwhile, discussing all the processes up and down. And as I'm here today together with Stefan to speak about the LCL process.
Yeah. And Dragos is co-hosting with me again. You already know him from the previous episodes, so I think, and I'm burnt, so I think we don't have to introduce ourselves today. So now we know who's talking, but not about what. So maybe we should have a short description of what LCL actually means. I mean, I already mentioned less than container load, but maybe it would be great if one of you or both could give a short summary of what it is.
Maybe also important to mention at the beginning, we talk about ocean freight.
Yes.
And so ocean. LCL, ocean, exactly. Okay. And we said we are talking from a freight forwarder's perspective. And maybe the first question is, what is a freight forwarder?
A freight forwarder is someone who organize or who has the network, the capability to transport goods around the globe. And the shipper, so the outsourcing party in that area is handing over certain goods towards a logistics service provider, in our case a freight forwarder, to transport those goods through the established network of the freight forwarder. And this starts with a pickup process normally to pick up the processes and.
Indeed, it's
a special logistics service provider, and you said at the beginning LSP, and actually in the US, they more often talk about 3PL, right? The third-party logistics provider, mm-hmm. but freight forwarder is the usual term.
Right. Exactly. And you said they're transporting it through their network, but I think they don't have their own equipment, right?
This is the speciality of a freight forwarder, that they don't own equipment. So it's a non-asset-based transportation company. So they buy in certain transportation activities also then from subcontracting carriers like a ocean freight carrier, where we speak in a minute about.
So basically the hardware they have is a telephone, a fax, and a warehouse, right, or some warehouses, right? Yeah, right?
Some, so that is, not to forget the know-how, and the knowledge, how to do those processes.
Exactly. And that's what I said, hardware. So, and then the adding value by knowing all the terms, consolidating stuff into, because what starts as less than container load typically must end up in a container somewhere, right? Because typically, if you look at the vessels, there are container vessels and not less than container vessels. But I think we come to that later in the process.
There's a lot of legal requirements, paperwork, and stuff, and export, import, customs, specialties, and overall, all over the world, localization topics. And this is, you know, the knowledge is actually the asset of the freight forwarder, and that's why many shippers outsource this business to freight forwarders.
And so now we talked a lot about what the freight forwarder actually is, and the specialty in LCL is that, what is it? I ask a question. Huh? What is different from other processes like FCL?
So the difference from FCL, so at the FCL, you pick up a full loaded container at customer location and transport it through the network. And in LCL, you pick up certain pallets, for example, or boxes, and bring it to a warehouse for a consolidation. And on the main leg, how we say for the ocean freight, you transport it as a FCL. The advantage for you as a freight forwarder is you have the better rates because you buy in a full container load instead of single pieces you transport through the network. And this is also the advantage for the customer to do the consolidation because it's a better rate mix you get.
Finally, if the container is full enough.
If the container is full enough, right.
Exactly, but that's the LSPs.
And at the end of the transportation chain, you deconsolidate it again split it to the different consignees.
Okay, so to take an easy example, if I would be a shipper and I have, let's say, 5 pallets full of TM90 DVDs and I want to send it to Minneapolis, but it's not a full container load, then I would call you as an LSP and you would take care of that and consolidate it with some, let's say, EWM DVDs you get from another location and send it there.
I mean, why not going through one time end-to-end in an abstract manner,
exactly.
what process steps happen, and later on we go then what steps are taken in the TM system.
Actually. Good. That's a good idea. So maybe I would be the shipper then, and you would be the LSPs, right? Yeah. So maybe...
Before we come to this, actually, order entry, order entry, then you actually would start planning your demand and transportation demands and capacities well ahead.
On the LSP side, right?
The LSP... the forwarder.
Freight forwarder.
Let's say we always talk from the perspective of the freight
forwarder.
I'm the
shipper, you are the freight forwarder.
Right. Yeah. And certainly... this is a highly repetitive business, which frequently is kind of the same every week, every month, same kind of business reoccurs. So exceptions are all over the places, certainly. But you can plan your demand and your capacities. And I would say let's start the process or the scenario with the process step of planning the capacity and making reservations with your ocean carriers. We talk about ocean freight bookings then later on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this would be the first step. I know from the export manager perspective, I'm in a certain country and I'm responsible for a certain gateway or container freight station, a CFS. And I know what kind of business I need to bring to different
container freight station. That's a short question. That would be a location where containers are built, right? So where
physical consolidation takes place.
Okay.
So where the containers are brought to and where the single pieces are located.
And
from the preliminary leg, and
I'm responsible for one of those, and I know I have typically.
Certainly, there are different kinds of container freight stations, like inland stations. Usually those CFS locations are close to a port, mm-hmm. and with a huge warehouse where then loose cargo items or palletized cargo items come into the warehouse and where you do the consolidation into those container boxes.
Okay, and you would be responsible for one of those, and you too?
And let's say the capacity manager, rather, mm-hmm. the expert yeah. gateway manager, who is planning the capacity well mm-hmm. ahead and needs to arrange those kind of pre-bookings with the ocean carriers mm-hmm. and for the certain trade lanes that you support. Mm-hmm. Like if we talk about container freight station Hamburg, you might need to go to different continents, to different mm-hmm. Container freight stations in those continents, and you plan those routes, those trade lanes, and do the pre-bookings, like whatever you need every week, 20 containers to Newark or mm. something like this.
Okay. Or maybe
because you know mm. upfront this is mm. what is required.
Or you want to have like a daily service for certain, then you would reserve something daily. So I think I heard also that like Maersk or somebody would have like a daily LCL service. But then you would think about that. What is your product kind of offering? Okay. And then reserve with the actual ocean carrier number of containers for a certain port pair or
CFS. And this is usually done mm. well ahead. Let's say whatever. When it comes to even block space agreements for countries where capacity is tight and you don't mm. get capacities from ocean carriers, you might need to do those reservations well ahead.
Autumn from China to US, huh?
Yeah, maybe not these days, but it was like this. And at least 4 to 8 weeks mm-hmm. in advance, you have got those pre-bookings, which you know start to be the kind of master files later on that you right. that you will have with the master bill of lading, where you later on consolidate those loose cargo items from your shippers. That is maybe the beginning.
Mm-hmm. That is a preparation phase. And and you may also define something like a product then, right? That you have that offering between the
So this is the product which you sell towards your customer. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. There are certain services of service offerings that you might sell to your clients as a freight forwarder. Mm. And if we talk about regular LCL, maybe door-to-door service, maybe come later to those kinds of terms. Mm. But this is one service product, right? Maybe at the end we can also talk about special things like buyer's consoles or something.
Maybe in the next episode, let's see how we get today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So would that be the first step you do?
Yeah.
That you have your capacity reserved, mm-hmm. so you are ready to take my DVD
your shipments or your products.
Now it's Blu-ray. That's why it's not a full container, because I have less Blu-ray than I would need it for DVD or CD. So we went LTL. Okay, good. So the next step would now, could I already call you now with my DVD?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Just
Blu-ray.
Call us.
Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just call us.
So I would call you now and say I have a load from Waldorf. We are here in Waldorf to Minneapolis, we said, right? To one of our customers. I could call both of you, right?
Doesn't matter.
Situation. But the process would be the same. Exactly.
Yeah, actually, we check at the beginning whether there's an agreement in place with you or not.
Mm.
I mean, the order we take anyway, but if there's no agreement yet, it is rather a kind of quotation process upfront, and master data certainly needs to be arranged.
But we already know each other, right?
So let's assume we have an established contract.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we will end up in a lot of discussions about agreements and things like that. So when Ben is calling us, so normally in the customer service of center, where the people are sitting to take the order, then those people, so from a TM perspective, would open a forwarding order and would maintain all information you gave through the phone or via email or via fax.
Okay.
Of course, when we have a good relationship, then we could also think about establishing an EDI connection or a B2B connection between both companies. And then we...
Which will be the future anyway?
Yes, which will be the future anyway. Then we have less effort in maintaining manual data in the forwarding
order. But let's say from an abstract perspective...
From an abstract perspective, at the end, we will have an order in the system where your load is being represented, so where to pick up, when, what, and where to brought.
So I would have to tell you it's from Baldur.
Details about the cargo.
Right, like, so which kind of cargo.
Dimensions,
weights, is it high value?
It is high value, definitely in our case, but no dangerous goods.
Commodity cost, dangerous goods, yes,
it's
no.
It's probably,
Okay.
Yeah. There's so many details that you actually need to tell. If this is not already agreed using a certain service product or services, then, you know, what I just said was dangerous goods or...
Basically, I would tell you, you can pick up something here with all the details, when, where, what kind of cargo, I at least assume, maybe come to deviations later, and or discrepancies, and then where it should go, and then... What would be next? You would confirm
We could create a house file in the old terms would be the house file. We call it, first of all, forwarding order, and certainly a house bill of lading is associated with it.
Yeah.
But this is the document that's created.
Okay.
And don't know, do we talk now about an abstract way
first? Yeah, I think we said first. Yeah. Independent of TM, just the LCL process, then we go through it
and
with
later,
TM.
Okay. Then maybe we a little bit faster go through the abstract way. And later on we go on TM.
So far we said
order entry, data validation against master data, agreement, everything available, details of the shipment that you actually need. And now it's the question whether the customer service is allowed to do the end-to-end routing or not. Usually in bigger countries, not the kind of product capacity.
Routing means manager. Which ports I use or
How do you route through your own network?
Okay,
like, you know, your own warehouses and maybe there's a warehouse, a station of origin in between before you go to the export container freight station. So this kind of routing.
And maybe if I go instead of to Minneapolis to New Zealand, I may need to combine some stations, right? That would be the routing piece. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
This routing is dominated by the decision of the trade lane.
Mm-hmm.
So which is the export or the port of origin the container freight station that is relevant for this port.
Not to forget, from a capacity manager perspective, it might be different as from a single user perspective. So from a single user perspective, I would book it on whatever is currently available. From a capacity management perspective, I would book it to that one where I got the highest utilization.
Depends on the overall
on the contract I have with the carrier, which I as a user would not know, but as a capacity manager I would have that in mind to get also a, like they call it in that industry, a kickback when I really make a good utilization of my overall contract on that specific trade lane. For example, I would get a kickback from the ocean carrier.
So basically I decide first I had this routing.
At the beginning we said we have a certain pre-booking, and if this is really a kind of high volume trade lane, what I said, 20 containers a week or something, then you don't start saying, okay, here from Waldorf, do I go to Hamburg or Rotterdam or Le Havre or whatever. I mean, that's certainly, I think, kind of fixed route that you take.
Okay, level...
Anyway, the step is end-to-end, a kind of end-to-end routing.
End-to-end routing, considering all kind of considerations that you already gave at different point of view.
The first consideration would be, is there a pre-booking?
Yeah.
Yes, no.
Yeah. Exactly.
And if...
Pre-booking would buy, remember that I have to remember. So that was my pre-reserved capacity that I booked in the very first step, right?
Right.
Because I expected TM to come out with 9.0, and that's why I already did my pre-booking well in advance.
And imagine there would be no pre-booking.
Mm.
Then we have different master data in place, like schedules, the carrier schedules of various ocean carriers, or we have the the gateway schedules where you connect CFS to CFS pairs. And based on such a schedule, you could then do an individual booking.
Okay.
Like if you don't have one on hand yet.
So basic process would be I have my default routing, I have my pre-booking, I just assign it.
Right.
Then one complication would be I take my default routing, but I don't have a pre-booking, so I could maybe create such a booking.
Mm-hmm.
And the next level would be I even do my routing flexibly based on maybe instead of going through Hamburg, I go to Le Havre because I want to fill one agreement that I have there that I really make sure I use it, even so it might take a bit longer or okay. So that is a consideration I do. And finally, I would kind of match.
There's another consideration I need to say that depends on the volume that you take now. An area of Waldorf, you know, whether you actually containerize this in Hamburg or whether you containerize this close to here, maybe in Mannheim.
Yeah. Okay.
Because even you might save, you know,
trucking
on trucking because you don't truck then loose cargo or palletized cargo to Hamburg. You consolidate the container already nearby and then truck the container.
Okay, so I would call you and you would then pick it up and bring it to Mannheim instead of Hamburg and combine it with something you get from BSF or Roche or somebody in that area here and then send one container over to Minneapolis and deconsolidate over there. Okay. But then it would already start at the
Let's say then Mannheim would be a kind of a CFS in that area because then you don't then you bypass also the CFS in Hamburg because then you bring it directly from Mannheim to the port of Hamburg.
We come to that.
A special process at the end. You have loose cargo or palletized cargo which you pack into a container at a certain location.
Okay.
Which is called a CFS.
So maybe quickly talk about trucking because this is
because
also
to bring the goods to the CFS.
Exactly. Now maybe just to summarize. So now we have our routing. We have the main leg defined and assigned to a capacity, the pre-booking in our easy case. And now we have to take care that it's brought from our consolidation location where I built the container.
First of all, we have to pick it up at your location.
I forget that,
Because otherwise, it's an empty container move otherwise. So we arrange then the pickup at your location.
Okay.
And this is all done also with a subcontracting order towards a trucking carrier.
Yeah.
So also there we have established contracts in the system.
Or I bring it myself, right?
Or you bring it by yourself, which is then called the self-delivery process, which is a bit different. Okay. But at the end, it all come into the same picture again.
Okay.
But let's do the normal process. So the normal process would be you say to us at a certain point in time that we can now arrange the pickup.
Okay.
I mean, there are different movement types as well, and maybe you talk about Incoterms later as well. But
let's assume we have a door-to-door movement. Yeah. So we pick it up at your location, we bring it to the consignee, and you pay it. Okay, that's all fine. So we arrange now the pickup because you gave us the advice to that you are now ready for takeoff and that, so ready for pickup.
Yeah.
So we arranged the trucking carrier to come to your location to pick up the goods.
Okay.
And those goods are then brought to our in either the CFS location in Hamburg when it's a single movement or to the Mannheim, CFS to do a pre-consolidation or to do the consolidation at that area.
Let's assume we have a kind of station of origin that is responsible for this.
Yeah, okay. Then region. we stay for that process at Mannheim, and we bring all those goods to Mannheim.
Mannheim will decide
if it's being consolidated in Mannheim or if it's being brought as single cargo items towards the. The next CFS or to the port.
Okay. Or that maps to TM. We come to that later. Okay.
So a couple of paperwork needs to be done, and certainly there might be also a order confirmation to you.
Already waiting for that for a while now. Yeah, okay, now I get it.
Good. Yeah, okay. And you might want to get some more information how we plan to do this.
Please.
Yes.
Thoughts.
Like a kind of tracker. Draft house bill of lading, where you would like to see what is the plan for the main leg and when is the pickup to be happen and so on. Those things.
I would need all that. Okay. Yeah,
yes.
It would happen before. Okay, so now
then after we talked about the trucking leg from the local station of origin towards the CFS in Hamburg, and this is
that leg would be then just my loose pallets would just be brought from Mannheim to the actual
sometimes
container
freight
station.
Sometimes we talk about a feeding leg, a kind of trucking feeder or whatever you call it, a daily or sub-daily scheduled trucking. Mm-hmm. Happens and brings cargo frequently from Mannheim to Hamburg, or whether it's worthwhile the other way, we said, then we containerize it maybe already in Mannheim and have a FTL transport, a full truckload with a container directly to the port.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And maybe in the second case, I think there would be a step where the container was actually built and where you communicate with the warehouse how to build it.
Of course. So when we have arranged the pickup, we have not saw the cargo because all the cargo is on your side, and we arranged trucker to come to you to pick those cargo up. And when the trucker arrives with the cargo at our warehouse facility, then we saw the first time the cargo. It's, so there we do all those, let's say, scans, like we look for the dimensions, we look for the weight, we look if there is something damaged, if there's the right pieces and things like that. And
most likely
let's assume we have there a kind of a discrepancy in that area, that something is missing or whatever, then we can... No.
Maybe I send you more... Or you send because you send, a higher demand already.
Yes, or you send more, so it's you have a discrepancy towards what's being advised by you through your shipping instructions.
Or we have a discrepancy because he wanted actually to send Blu-rays and now bring DVDs.
Yeah, or something like that. So, and those informations can then be reported in the receiving process at the warehouse.
So I would have that receiving process.
Right, you have a receiving process because this is the first time we really got all your cargo information. From that beginning on, we are, let's say, being responsible for the non-damaged cargo, which was brought in.
That
and in case there is a discrepancy, we can report those information, and we can also block those shipments or those cargo from being further.
Maybe we talk about later
when we come to the end.
So basically, we can say we distinguish
somehow. We have a receiving
process,
and from there we do then the consolidation.
I just wanted to say we distinguish transactional operations from physical operations, and you touched up on a little on the physical operations already, where a warehouse is required and the warehouse system. And maybe we talk about this when we talk about TM and warehouse integration and so on,
right? Yeah. Okay, so just to summarize, so we had that first step now where the in the execution phase already, where you received my goods, I brought it to you, or you picked it up as a pickup. Then we had that feeder move that brings it from Mannheim to the actual container freight station where the container is built. Then we have the warehouse activities there. And then I think you also have to bring the container to the actual ocean carrier somehow, right? Is it drayage order?
It's a drayage order.
This is a special thing in TM. Maybe we touch later about those drayage orders within the freight bookings.
At the end, it's a movement of the full loaded container from the CFS towards the port.
Okay. Which actually is not part of the routing of the legs, and we see this later.
Exactly. I think now it's still talking generically already. Uh-huh. 30 minutes nearly.
Okay.
But I think it's very easier to map it to TM than later.
Yeah. Now we got it to the port. Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's not on the ship.
Yeah.
It's alongside ship,
and then the vessel is moving. It already have 1 meter between K and the vessel, and then.
you would receive shipped on board, or?
Yeah, yes. So the shipped on board status is being received then from the ocean carrier. So this is mm-hmm. at the end the confirmation towards us that the container is being on the vessel. Mm.
Which right. actually concludes already the export side
of the shipment.
Yeah, right. Export side here really doesn't has any custom implications, right? It's more the customs. Right. We leave aside. I mean, that's a topic in its own right. It's really only the perspective of the exporting
goods,
forwarding from organization
from one
right?
country right. to another country in our yeah. area.
Yeah. Yes. Let's say it's the original. Yeah. Even if you would do that within one country, if it would be on both sides of the ocean, we would still call it export import. But it's not. Just to make clear, it's right. not related it's not to any customs or so. Yeah. It's just sending side and then receiving side, which is called export import.
Outbound and inbound.
Exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's the term used is export organization.
Export import, in that industry. That's,
and the export organization actually now would see that they get the money for the services they executed in this country. And this would be dependent on the Incoterm from you, the shipper. Mm. We need money.
I pay end to end.
He pays end to end.
Okay. If there would be a different Incoterm, like your concernee has to pay the freight as well, then we would need to have a intercompany settlement. Right. We need to ask the import organization, hey, give us the money that you are going to receive from the concernee.
Okay.
Yeah. So this would be
so the import organization would now also come into play. So we would kind of inform the import organization right. that they will receive that container, right? I think we didn't.
Yeah. So most often they call it pre-advice somehow. Mm-hmm. So at a certain point of time, they inform already the import organization. And if this is ocean business, it's good enough. If this is shipped on board, then you send the information over something is coming in 3 or 4 weeks or 2 weeks, depends on what kind of loop you booked with the carrier.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. So now on the import side, I expect everything kind of to be kind of symmetric. So you would
pick up the full container
with a tray order again, bring to your target CFS.
Right. You have an import container there, freight station.
There we do the deconsolidation.
So open up the container box. You seal. I mean, you check the seal.
Yeah. Have discrepancies if somebody need a DVD.
You might take pictures that everything is still in place and not damaged. And the import organization now checks how to bring it to the consignee. There's another routing step whether there's again a regional responsible station of destination where you truck then either the container as an on-carriage as is, or you would really deconsolidate the container and bring the palletized or loose cargo to the next station.
Mm.
And then the final delivery is organized by...
It sounds pretty symmetric, right? We did on the import side, and then I think also the import organization want to get their money either from the export
organization. In our case, you already paid it.
Yes, but then the import.
Normally, when the import organization, depending on the Incoterms, like Stefan mentioned beforehand, the import organization did also collect the money from the
consignee. Free on board or free alongside ship or that kind of thing. Then but it could be anything. I think it's kind
before
of
before you deliver then. The. Goods, you really make sure you get the money. Either you have credit arranged or you
For cash collect. Delivery.
Yes.
Yeah. But my customer will always pay, so you can deliver.
But in this case you pay.
Then we have
I always pay.
It's
good. I have credit with you, right?
It's DDP, right?
Yeah. It's in case you just get some extra licenses from me then.
Okay, that means after the transportation physically is done, then you all, of course you have to settle, the financial part. So that,
like on the export side, I said you need to make sure you get the money and you settle
either from
it.
The export organization in case of then the shipper pays or from the consignee when.
In this case, exactly. If Bernd as the shipper, as Incoterm DDP, he pays everything. That means the import organization needs to make sure to get the money from the export organization for the, all the services they execute for delivery and deconsolidation and stuff.
You know? Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. And then we are, let's say, leaving customs, et cetera, aside.
We have also some freight settlement documents. So because we need to pay the ocean carrier, we need to pay the truckers.
Yep.
Also from those we receive invoices, which we have to pay.
Okay, but that would be high level,
High level.
Right. Yeah, but I think today's target is to go through that process, high level, abstract, and now, so if we now can do that same process with TM now,
right?
Just to make sure we are through.
Yep.
Okay, so now we start with...
We switch on our systems in our head.
Up and running?
Yes.
Stop.
Yeah, then most likely it will even be faster with TM now, the process, right?
So. Of course, it's a one-click
scenario. Yeah, so...
Zero click.
Okay, so we start again. First, with the capacity management, right? We said somebody in the container freight station think about what is the capacity, or capacity manager, wherever he sits.
Yeah.
A capacity manager thinks about what is my required...
Yeah, that's now really depends on the level of sophistication. Usually, they have an Excel sheet and exactly know the desired capacity they need to procure or to reserve from the carriers, and they do it via our freight booking.
They create freight booking. Right. First TM touch point here. Yeah. So,
but could very well be that they also use our nice schedules, and maybe allocations are planned and so on. And based on allocations, you may want to create freight bookings. But
with the schedule would kind of be an automated way of creating.
Right. Yes. Right. So at the end, we have freight bookings in the system where we can book on.
And that freight booking would be a point-to-point document, right? Between, in our case, container freight stations, right? Not between ports, but...
In our case, between container freight stations and two ports in the middle.
In a freight booking type, you actually control this. We have a certain setting that you say it's from container freight station export to container freight station import. Mm. And in between, you have the port of origin. Mm-hmm. And port of destination.
I think the name for that up to 8.1 was service level at port of loading and service level at port of discharge. I want to say sorry for that confusing naming, but we change it now with consolidation at pickup and without consolidation at pickup. I think as of 9.0, we renamed that, and you can also change it in the booking name. But for the LCL process, this booking would be an F. Maybe that's also always confusing. The booking would be FCL booking, right?
FCL booking.
So always booking full container.
Receive a less than container,
right?
And as Dragos said, you book a full container,
right?
Yes.
I think there's also a lot of confusion about that. So that is, that is what the LSP is getting the money for.
You always book containers.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like when you go to vacation with your car, you take a lot of single pieces and put it into the car, and then you drive the full car towards your location, and then you do the deconsolidation of the.
Oh, that's strange.
Yeah, that's pretty the same.
Yeah. But basically, so even we are in the LCL process, the booking is an FCL booking, unless we are in co-load. But we leave that aside for now. Okay, so you create a lot of bookings, which are with consolidation location, which is the location where you actually build the container, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So important to know is that in TM, then this document is actually serving as a capacity that you later can use for planning, but also is certainly your master file and your master bill of lading, which you need to complete and do the manifest later on and so on.
Mm-hmm. After creating a booking, would it already be sent to the carrier then to get a confirmation back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Depends on the timing. And
depends, but typically,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so you
agree it with your carrier and get it planned.
In my confirmation, I might get the deviation confirmation. I have adapted them, but basically, I have no.
Based on terms and conditions, you anyway can cancel those reservations anytime. Or as I at the beginning said, whether it's a block space agreement, and it's booked and paid anyway. Doesn't matter how much cargo you bring.
And I would book one or more containers of
right? It's not that I...
What I said, 20 containers maybe.
Okay.
Per week.
In one booking. Okay. Yeah. So, but it's again, for one departure of the vessel, most likely also, because you're CFS departure.
It's one carrier, one vessel, one departure.
Exactly.
One voyage number.
One CFS pair. Maybe talking about the locations in the booking. So I would have that container freight station where that container is built.
Right. The port.
Exactly. Stop, roll, booking pickup. the next is then the actual port of loading. Stop, roll, main deck, start, which is where I hand it over, depends again, but where it really goes on the vessel, so to say. Mm-hmm. Right. Then I could have some intermediate ports where, let's say, the vessel goes by, which I might need for GT customs, etc. considerations. I may or may not know the routing, but it's that, let's say, what we call a main leg transit location for information purposes, but nothing happens. I cannot load or unload there. It's just on the vessel. And then I have the port of discharge location, main leg end. And then I have that deconsolidation location.
Import CFS.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That is the booking. And then I have that container items in which serve as a capacity for the demands which will now come into play, right?
So in our case, you would have 20 items.
Prepare this freight booking, you also take care of the equipment types already, group and whatever details you need.
Equipment type and group actually defines the container type.
So if it's a normal container or if it's a cooled container.
The measurements or the attributes of the container.
Okay, but not a single certain specific container, but just the single specific container.
We got later from either from customer side or from the ocean carrier.
In the LCL,
we got the container information later on from the container yard, and then we have the concrete container number which we get through the, confirmation message in the booking order.
Okay, so far we have booking with all locations defined and stops, and with the capacity in terms of containers that we already reserved for different types. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Now you call.
Now I call you. Yeah. No, I said you an EDI because we have that good relationship.
Okay, so we receive an order.
Yes.
And this is basically stored as a forwarding order, so it can be received, like said before, either you send it by email, fax, or you gave a call, or it's...
Yeah, I would give you a call, maybe. Yeah.
Established a B2B connection between
the end-to-end process. If you wouldn't have such a good relationship,
then you would create it from scratch.
I would start with a forwarding quotation then, or if I'm not sure, I would send it with you.
We said in the beginning we have an existing relationship, so we have an agreement in place, then we don't need a quotation.
But we could
also start with a quotation.
That is, when would I do that?
It's like a spot. You have an existing contract, but nevertheless you would buy in a spot quote.
Okay.
Yeah, this all happens because at the end the customer decides how he would like to do
didn't,
it.
Okay. Didn't we say that the freight forwarders business is a business of exceptions?
Right.
everything is
possible. So it often happens that you also call and for a spot quote.
Yeah. Okay. Then in that case, I would start
with a quotation and would give you a price for the whole transport.
Mm.
And when you would accept that quotation, we can take that over to the order.
Okay. Forwarding
to order. The forwarding order level and proceed from there on.
Technically, both are TRQs.
Technically spoken, are both TRQs. So the quotation is a TRQ and the forwarding order is also a TRQ.
Any order document that we have.
Right.
So if something is requested, it's a TRQ. And in our case, because we're in a forwarding order world, it's either a forwarding order directly, or maybe, if I have that spot thing,
a forwarding quotation
as a predecessor of the forwarding order.
Right.
That's okay.
So now it really depends how you start this process. If you work with service products, for instance, or really highly prepared forwarding order types where you predefine already certain shipment type and movement types and stuff.
Perhaps some routing information.
Can you know predefine a lot of things, or if you have templates in place where you you know create. Template is, by the way, also a tier queue.
Of course.
And,
it's an order document. Right?
Yes. And you create a forwarding order based on the template.
Okay.
Or you search for an old order that you placed and you copy this order and have a new one right away. And you don't need to type in everything.
Exactly. Scratch,
you know? Or you go to the agreement master data and say, I have an agreement in place with you. And this is the agreement item. And for this agreement item, I would like to create a forwarding order.
Okay. But so depending on my...
Those data that I agreed and entered there are taken over already into the order.
For example, what kind of information is taken over from the agreement?
I mean, what you agreed, it's like a simple thing, like a mode of transportation or the shipment type or things are taken over.
From the...
Agreement.
Okay, so let's say a lot of alternatives depending on my situation, how to create that, but finally always forwarding order.
End up all in the same object at the end.
Always, so
always a forwarding order, which is then being created, which represents the customer order. Which represents your call, the customer
plus
order,
our
based on which we also send you the confirmation.
Okay. So based
and,
on
the invoice.
And the invoice later.
I think it's important aspect. Yeah. This represents really the customer data.
Right.
This is what we agreed and what
I could also wish me a routing, right?
You can also wish you a routing.
I can say I want to go through Le Havre because I like that port.
Yes.
Can say you only want to do business with this kind of carrier or this specific carrier, and we have on a forwarding order level. On a forwarding order level, we have an ordered route where you could enter this information as a wish of the shipper. But there are scenarios also where the freight forwarder is using this actually to say, okay, this is my station of origin, and this is the station of destination, and this is my trade lane, and all charge calculation and invoicing may be done only based on this data and not based on any actuals, what happens later in the execution. So nobody knows. You have a fixed...
Because we have a clear separation.
We have a separation and from a logistical perspective and also from a settlement perspective.
Exactly. So we have, if you see it in a routing, I think that's a nice place to see it. You have that ordered route, which is technically the tier queue state also. And then you have the actual route,
which freight unit.
Should follow, which is technically a freight unit, which is a TOR, because it's a planning execution buying document. We have the actual route.
We should quickly say what a freight unit is. Maybe not everybody listened to the podcast.
I can do a shameless plug to TM Podcast 1, where we talked about that in deep, but to make a short version of it, the freight unit is a, let's say, the planning perspective. The planning representation of my wish, where you could, for example, doesn't make sense for LCA. For LCA, I think it's simple, where you could split different, one big order could be split, doesn't make sense for LCL. But basically, it represents the planning of that object. We said
I usually say it is the collection of cargo items which are supposed to travel end to end, which are not supposed to be split in between.
Exactly.
So it's,
that is,
it's the biggest collection or grouping of cargo items.
Exactly. It's kind of unsplittable in the sense, of course, there are exceptions
and this,
again.
And this freight unit is basically used for planning and execution purposes. And important to know is that if the forwarding order might be huge, because you get an order for whatever, 100 tons,
DVDs.
100 tons, then maybe
we
not.
Not serve it as LCL.
Then, right, LCL with 100 tons.
Yeah.
So maybe bulk. I don't know.
Anyway,
that was just a comment on the side that there's a freight unit building rule in place, and an LCL business certainly most often the cargo items that you enter in the forwarding order makes it to the freight unit one-to-one. There's one freight unit usually created for the forwarding
order. Maybe one, there would be one exception. Maybe you might have one forwarding order, LCL forwarding order with two freight units, and that is, I think that's a 9.0 feature that you can have different target locations within one forwarding order. But I think that's a bit exotic, right? Let's say our straightforward
case. Could be a first step of the bias consolidation.
Bias consolidation special.
That's a special process. So let's assume we pick those DVDs or Blu-rays at one location.
And we bring it to one location.
So we would have in that area, in that case, we would have one forwarding order represented by one freight unit. Yeah.
Didn't you say that you have six pallets or something at the beginning?
I don't know. We are planned to be six pallets, right? Of Blu-ray. Yep.
This would be then still one freight unit, still one item saying six pallets, not six items saying pallet one, pallet two, pallet. It's one item saying six pallets.
Okay.
Depends on whether you have special product details that you would like to capture individually, then you might have individual pallets as well.
Let's say
we can build both, so represent both.
Okay. And then we come to the next step in our generic LCL process, was the routing, right? Mm-hmm. So now we have to find a routing and save it somewhere. So how would I do that?
So there many different steps and depending on which user roles allowed to do this. There are shortcuts available from the forwarding order UI. There is a shortcut.
There's a shortcut available.
Forwarding order, those planned actual stages where you can select a stage and say.
I'm even one step before. Sorry for that.
I would like to define
the routing. Yeah, because so far I just entered my wish from two.
That's right. There is a decision whether you really use the optimizer or whether routing is done manually.
Mm-hmm.
Because nowadays, freight forwarders do the manual routing and really enter the stages manually into the forwarding order screen.
Okay. So,
the
first option would be I manually define my routing. So the container freight station that is relevant is entered, then the port of loading, port of discharge.
And the orders I have, so represented by the customer location and by the consignee location.
Mm. Okay, so
for the LCL, as I said, if there's a regional station of origin, then this is usually the first station.
Okay, let's take our Mannheim Hamburg example. Yes. So I would have one stage from Waldorf to Mannheim, right? Freight unit stage.
Then we have a Mannheim to Hamburg.
That's what I meant. This depends on how this is organized at the freight forwarder, because maybe the capacity planner or the is responsible for selecting the main leg. So in this case, we said we always go from Hamburg, but there's someone responsible to assign this forwarding order to the freight booking. And sometimes the stage is entered ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you didn't even plan this stage yet and just drag and drop this new unplanned forwarding order or freight unit to the already done pre-booking, and the stage automatically is entered.
So option one is I just enter stage by stage manually, maybe with the help. I think in the movement type, you can predefine what kind of stages do I have, right? Yep. Pick up.
Which are mandatory and which are obligatory.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's but no locations defined, but only that I will have a pickup if it's a door to door and that I have a
main leg. I could have a pre-carriage.
Exactly. So that kind of thing is predefined.
Right.
Then I could either manually enter the locations. A capacity manager could do it by assigning the CFS to CFS.
But then there are a step ahead.
Okay.
I would say when we put in everything manual, then we have the possibility to either create a freight booking by a shortcut.
No, wait, wait. I've seen the routing. So far, I'm still just want to...
summarized the options, and my example was that the customer service is not entering this information.
It's not entering the information, then the...
You can go to the transportation cockpit and then you see in the
transportation cockpit, they do the planning on the freight unit level assign them to the freight booking, which already in the system, and then we got the routing back.
So there might be a kind of cooperation or an interaction between the business units where you actually ask, may I put my forwarding order on your master file, on your freight booking?
I think we also have that for the assignment, then there's org interaction in place, right? That's another functionality.
Yes.
But for the routing, we said manually, I could just by assigning it to a already existing booking, I implicitly define the routing because the booking already has the location. So if I assign my freight unit, it also must have that same location. That's the second option, right? The third one would be the transportation proposal, which would kind of evaluate the network
with the optimizer. It's an optimizer,
With the optimizer and giving you back the alternatives, you select one. And the last one, if you have more like geographically static routes, you could use a default routing also, right? Which is an incarnation of the schedule basically, but where you say to get from my Mannheim station to Minneapolis, I always go through Hamburg and so I could, depending on my different scenario, situation, setup, I would have that four options, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Good. So based on that, now we have, let's say, unplanned stages, except for that specific case where I already assigned a stage to the booking. Mm-hmm. And that creates me another two stages. Mm-hmm. Typically, I would have then like unplanned stages. And then we have that next step that would kind of bind that demand, that freight unit stage for the main leg, CFS,
to a booking? No? Sometimes you first really arrange the pickup because you want to see the cargo first before you go on, you know, then you get it to your own warehouse, you arrange the warehouse, the pickup. Trucking. Therefore, we also have a kind of shortcut function, if you like, if this is a LTL loose pickup or whether you have a trucking consolidation again and milk runs and whatever, depends on scenarios. Mm-hmm. But finally, you end up having the freight unit stage for the pickup being assigned to a certain freight order.
In different ways. Again, you could, as I said, do that shortcut, do it from the forwarding order UI. Somebody in a transportation cockpit could do that. You can also do it from the freight order. You can kind of pull that items in with easy adding. Yes. Well, kind of planning. I think that's nice. Another story. How to
planning drag and drop.
So
and
whatever. Optimizer, in the course, would be an option. If you,
it's the same as in the booking order at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But maybe here, optimizer makes sense because if you have a lot of pickup locations, you want to optimize that.
Yeah.
If
basically the freight order is the subcontracting order for the trucking leg.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And the planning also.
So now you have the goods in the freight station, and then you do you measure them and then you record also.
Yeah, maybe we highlight the physical operation here shortly because you have now an inbound transport coming into your warehouse, and you actually upfront informed your warehouse something is coming. You can do this based on the freight order. There's also kind of pre-advice that you tell the warehouse there will be an inbound transportation, and they unload the truck and do the goods received. And then there are also kind of messages for integration purposes available to tell the TM system, I received the goods with this kind of actuals, with dimensional weights and so on. And discrepancies maybe are triggered.
Yeah, maybe that's an interesting point here as well. Uh-huh. Maybe so if I, as I said, the demand was huge, so I had to put one more pallet on it. So in that case, I ordered six. Still brought you eight pallets of TM. So what would happen then? I would have a discrepancy, right? You said the warehouse would report me that it's eight pallets, and then you would run into a discrepancy.
Because on your setup, usually you don't allow any
further processing. Yes. Well, and then you have to, then we have to connect each other. So our customer service
will call you
and ask how to proceed. Yeah? Yeah. And then you say, yeah, I know it. I thought it was 6, but now I got 8. So please proceed with 8. And then we can document all of those things. And then we can release.
Mm. Then you would also change the order quantity, right?
In that case, we would change the order quantity, of course, because we will also bill you.
Charge you, yes.
You will.
But then we will release that order for further processing, and then it can be a further process written.
Where are the discrepancies stored? In the forwarding order or in the freight unit?
It's in the freight unit item that you actually...
When they first time show up, right?
And exactly. So actually, you would do the counting.
You have thresholds where you can say, okay, for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kilograms, I don't care or whatever. So, but if there are 2 pallets, certainly I care.
Yeah. So what happens is you do the counting in the freight order, let's say in the warehouse, right. That updates freight order. And then from there, you have the actual quantity, as you counted then, and that would create an actual entry in the exact table, in the execution note of the document. So it's kept separately. So we have the order quantity and the actual, and that would update the freight unit then also, and that then would trigger that discrepancy, and that discrepancy leads to a block, right? And you can select the forwarding orders by existing discrepancy and then
the POWL.
Exactly. And then you can manually say, okay, it's a discrepancy, but go ahead. So manually say, okay, it's solved, right?
Mm-hmm. Or maybe a quick side note, POWL was mentioned, stands for Personal Object Worklist. It's our entry screens with queries and the worklist to work from.
Okay. So now we have the forwarding order with the discrepancy. We have solved this discrepancy. You called me, you changed the quantity, that automatically brings the quantities in sync again, and then the discrepancy is resolved. I also make some comments.
And now the next step starts, because I need to bring the cargo to Hamburg, and we said we don't containerize it in Hamburg.
We didn't even assign it to booking so far. Yeah. I wanted before, but you said you only would do it after I received my goods. So now we have to look for booking.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Mannheim needs to take care that the cargo leaves the warehouse. Right. I want to get it out of my warehouse in Mannheim and need to look for routing. How do I do it?
Mm-hmm.
And me as the business unit Mannheim, I ask the export gateway Hamburg, may I book this forwarding order onto your freight booking?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there are different processes in place and I'm allowed to do it right away. I may just do a drag and drop in the transportation cockpit, and up to whatever 60-70% of the capacity, I'm allowed to directly put it in the freight booking. And this is then the assignment of the main leg to the freight booking.
Okay, maybe one side note on that one. If you assign it to a freight booking, that freight booking has a cutoff time. It has several cutoff times, but one cutoff time, cargo cutoff time, at the container freight station. And to make sure that our 8 pallets are in time in Hamburg, that cutoff time is kind of considered as the end, hard end for the feeder stage, which goes to the container freight stage. Maybe that's a side note. That's the way we keep consistency between the different stages. So the booking has a cutoff time, and that makes it into technically the acceptable end, the end stop, inbound stop of that feeder stage, right? And that way we make sure all the stages, because in that process, we already have like 5 different stages, and they have to be in sync in terms of time. So also I must be there in sync. If not, then we get that cross document time check error. So
which is a new feature in 9.0.
Which is a new feature. We're talking about 9.0, today it's 5th of March 2013, as a note. We are talking 9.0 now. Yeah. And so then you can detect also some problems that you have, because we said we assign the different stages to different capacities. So the main leg to the booking, the pickup or assign, and now we also have to do the same thing for the feeder, right? So the feeder must be feeder stage. Yeah,
you might have even a trucking schedule, as I said, daily or sub-daily schedule is in place, and you have a freight order or multiple freight orders, and you just make sure you put it onto the next truck that leaves Mannheim towards Hamburg.
Okay. But if you don't, then you can go through the whole process of creating a forwarding order, tendering it, and
freight kind
of
stuff.
Freight order. Yeah, sorry.
Yes. But usually freight forwarders don't do tendering.
Yeah. They have their
contract.
Yes. And here again, a short side note maybe on the physical operations, because basically the office floor, let's say, tells the warehouse floor what to do, because I need to tell them there's a freight order going outbound. So I tell them there's going to be an outbound transport, and I tell them those cargo items you actually put on this and this staging area already, you need to put into this and this truck. It's oversimplified.
Probably need also special equipment to handle that and this kind
of right. Where do I get this from? But there are interfaces in place to communicate from TM to a warehouse system, just to instruct the warehouse people how to load cargo items onto the freight order, and they can report back what they loaded. And this is the physical operation then done in the warehouse floor.
Okay, so basically now we have from the expert perspective, from the German perspective, now we have already done this routing. So we know it's Mannheim, Hamburg, container freight station, and then consolidation and container freight station Hamburg and to Newark. And so typically we ship to Newark, right? The routing is done. We already have assigned the pickup stage to freight order. We have received the goods. We have clarified the discrepancies. After that, we did the actual assignment to the ocean, to the main leg, to the ocean booking. And based on that, because then we know when does it need to be in Hamburg, or maybe also, okay, I want to push it out here in Mannheim. They should care. I would now also create a feeder freight order, we said that. Right. So
which
now we
have. Which usually is in place anyway. And you assign,
assign my feeder stage to that feeder freight order, which is kind of a scheduled truck.
It's a regular traffic.
Exactly. So and that feeder freight order may come out of a road schedule. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's next? So we have our plan, and now let's say we do the normal execution.
No, the same.
We said we don't.
In the CFS, so there is a receiving process.
Okay.
Unloading of the truck. A check if everything is.
Yeah. I think the special thing is there only because we said we had like 5 containers in that booking. And I think one special thing is that you can container by container define that this container is now kind of ready for loading, right? Because in that booking we have several containers where you assign the different LCL loads to, and then you said, okay, I finished the planning for that 40 feeder. But not for the fridge.
But let me say, you don't have a container yet.
Oh, right. Yeah. I just have a container.
You don't have a container. It doesn't have any way.
Me as a forwarding.
Exactly forwarder. Right. Yeah.
So there is a container yard usually close to the CFS. I need to take care that the container comes to my premise so that I can load it.
Yeah. Okay.
And with the booking, usually you get this information where you can pick up the container,
Numbers.
Or you tell the carrier, I still have one container of you here, and I just take it.
Okay.
Anyway.
And with that, I updated. I think that container provisioning part is something where we can dive a bit deeper into later. If we also have more functionality on that one.
In the new release.
Let's see. But so far, basically, if you do container provisioning, you would create a freight order for that and do it kind of separately. So not one of the features. So.
Yeah. Actually, we left the station of origin already, and we said we don't take care of any customs stuff now, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think that is really another topic in itself.
Also paperwork and stuff has to be prepared.
Yeah, yeah. Just to considering the time, maybe just to go through the process now, kind of leaving that aspect aside. I think that is a topic in itself. So the next thing is really, we organize our container. We have a freight order, brings it in. We key in the container number. Mm-hmm. We tell the warehouse, okay, that container is now kind of planning is finalized, ready for loading, right? And the warehouse would load and report that back.
Right. And then it's loaded.
Tells you actually also the seal numbers back, and you enter this or automatically receive it to put it in the container item so that you really know it's sealed by whom and when.
Yeah, maybe so at that point in time, we would have per container a container item in that booking, really container by container.
With the assigned forwarding order / freight units.
So. Exactly. We would also see the kind of planned utilization of that container and then total. Okay. The next thing is then
bring the order. The dray order. So you again need a local trucking.
Which is also regular traffic, what you have between the CFS and the port.
Yeah. Maybe so it's just a shuttle service or something. It depends. Yeah,
it's like a shuttle service, right?
So you select basically the container item in the freight book and say
one or more, device. Right? One or two, basically, I think, in that case.
And then we say create a drayage.
Which is again, we are in planning execution, so it's a freight order. Right. I think the special thing for that technically interested is that the linkage between the booking, which is the source, the origin of that dray order, and the dray order itself is a bit special. Maybe that's enough. So typically a freight unit is linked on stage level, and since that booking has multiple dry orders potentially, the linkage it's done a bit differently. Maybe that's
important to know. This dray stage is not part of the end-to-end routing that you see in the freight unit. It's part of the freight booking.
Exactly, because the container, the freight unit kind of disappears into the container and shows up later. You can still see that, of course. What is the routing of that document? But let's say from a pure technical stage perspective, it is one stage, container freight station, two container freight station, whatever intermediate stops the booking have, like port of loading, port of discharge, or any other intermediate stops. But still, I have that information, of course, in the booking. Good. So the container is already close to the vessel. Ship. Now it goes on the vessel, and the vessel leaves the port. Now we get our ship on board.
Hopefully with all the containers.
With all the containers, I mean, yes.
In between, we send the shipping instructions to the carrier. And the carrier creates the master bill of lading.
I would enter the master bill of lading number, and when it was drawn automatically or manually.
Ocean
carrier, it's coming from the ocean carrier. Yes.
From the message.
Yes, from the confirmation. Exactly. From the message. Yeah.
Or I could call it.
Type it in manually.
Okay, anything else on the export side with the booking?
Yes, the shipped on board will be set. With that shipped on board, I think also important factor is then that with the shipped on board status, we create the import documents.
Okay.
So this is an automatic trigger for creating the import.
Maybe we highlight this quickly because it's also new and not known so much. So basically, this is a PPF action, which is triggered.
PPF means post-processing framework,
which is triggered automatically when you set the freight booking to shipped on board. And within this PPF action, actually, there could be message-based integration to the import side might be a different system on the import side, but let's assume it's the same TM system on the import side.
A different company.
Then basically we create an import freight booking and an import forwarding order and import
out of the
freight
import
units.
Booking,
Right. This is all in one step, so there is no certain sequence that you need to know. It's just one step. And in the document flow, you then see in the export freight booking, you see the import freight booking, and it's in status draft. It appears in red color, actually, because it's a draft. You can navigate from the document flow to the import freight booking and take it into in process. But this is then already on import side. So the import
container freight station. It's probably important to mention that in this case, we have two sets of documents. So we have the documents on the export side, the forwarding order and the booking. And then you have now, when you set on board, you have also
the same documents,
the same documents on the import side.
Right.
Exactly. With different business, I think same, but not identical.
Technically the same. Yeah? So you have the import booking order and the import forwarding order.
They somehow mirrored.
It's mirrored.
But the organizations are different.
And based on those, you do the import-based planning.
I usually explain this like a physical file that you have maybe on your table, and there is a table of content on the top of the file, and this document flow is actually like a table of content. You see which is the export freight forwarding order, and which is the export freight booking, which is the import freight booking, which is the import forwarding order. All is in the document flow, which is kind of table of content of this kind of file, and you can navigate to the individual user interfaces that represent the data of the different business units.
Okay. Yeah. That's a kind of copy. Then technically, I think it's interesting. It creates first the booking, and out of the booking information, creates in the forwarding order also.
Right.
Because the forwarding order is kind of dependent on the booking information here. Mm-hmm. We already have a forwarding order. It's not a real order. It's just for kind of follow up processes on the import.
The traffic direction changes. So in the freight booking, we have a field traffic direction. Right. And the forwarding order as well, traffic direction.
All right. Import. I think it's also interesting. The stages are the same, but kind of mirrored again. So what is on the stages, you can define freight unit stages as playing relevant or irrelevant. Right. And of course, on the export side, the pickup is relevant, feeder is relevant, and the main leg is relevant, but not the defeeder and delivery stage. And then import is.
I mean, this has again be configured using movement type or stage profile specific things, where you actually configure whether the based on the business unit of this country, this stage is then relevant or not relevant.
Okay, good. I think that's pretty much high level the step for the export, import, or how the receiving. And then again, I think the receiving process is pretty much the same as the export, but it's deconsolidation instead of consolidation. I think we can speed up here, as I said, with TM, everything is faster. So we can speed up here a bit. So the last step, according to what we define as a high level process, TM independent, is then the charges, invoicing, settlement.
So you want just to say this was now the shortcut. So we did deconsolidation and all the trucking towards the stations. Okay.
The shortcut processes. Okay. Just but I think it's pretty much the same as from the import side, just for other stages, right? Or is there anything special to be mentioned here?
No, it's just mirrored and just getting deconsolidation steps and again having trucking organized.
And again, the decision, where do I deconsolidate?
Didn't you say you have Incoterm DDP?
Yeah, I have to pay also for the
everything.
Other side. Yeah,
so this means, you know, it's a collect shipment and the import business unit, the import or the
US
station of destination basically is responsible for getting the money from the consignee. And it's a prepaid shipment. What I mentioned meant was that they want to get money now from the export business unit. Actually,
so we have an internal settlement process. Either by
So the
agreed rates,
because I pay everything to the German organization, and the import organization in the US also has some work and have to pay their carriers, so they get their fair share. From the German organization. I think there are different models
in place. Right. That sharing.
Exactly. I think that would lead too far.
So it's also, let's say, a bit of a company overall company decision how the the company itself would like to do such kind of business. So, for example, you could have, in that case, you could have a loss on the import side. Mm. Nevertheless, you got a good profit on the export side, and this is why you do those kind of transports or the other way around. Okay. But this is then, at the end, the company decision how you would like to settle those things internally.
May also be affected by different tax rules, etc.
Right.
So,
that's,
so basically, on right. So I was wrong. And it was for the DDP, we do the charge calculation and settlement on the export forwarding order. Then this will trigger then the billing towards
Maybe so far we always also mentioned the documents created. So I would calculate my charges first. Then I say, okay, now I also want to have, so you want to have some money from me. So you would now,
forwarding settlement document technically.
Forwarding settlement document.
Yeah. And this is then the invoice, which we send over to the ERP system for financial billing.
Okay, and I think in the ERP system and also the other tax aspects would then be added, right?
So the tax determination or the tax
depends on the also on the country, right?
How you do it. Yeah. Okay.
And basically, you have a forwarding settlement, and this is basis for the invoice.
Yeah, it's a kind of a pro forma invoice without tax in standard system, and this is handed over to ERP SD billing, and there the tax calculation takes place, and this will then create the final invoice or the real invoice.
And on the other side, for the ocean piece, I think, or for all the transportation services I bought,
there's a freight settlement document. Mm-hmm. The basis on that is the freight order.
Yeah, order booking order, right?
Order booking order, so the tour at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And the freight settlement document represents what I have ordered or expect has to be paid by the to the ocean carrier or to the trucking carrier.
Okay, so
and this is handed over to the ERP system as well.
Short summary, so you would send me one invoice, so you would create one foreign settlement document that would create one invoice. I get it, I pay it, invoice verification, etc. would happen in ERP. Then you, the export organization, would create, in our example, three freight settlement documents, one for the pickup, if it's not your own truck, one for the feeder. And one for the main deck, for the ocean booking.
Right.
But then for the container, of course, not for the, so it's different price. And then the import organization would do the same for the...
Right.
For the other...
So the feeder. And in that case, we would have, without additional services, five freight settlement documents on export-import side.
Exactly. Three on export, two on import side in that case. But, of course, that depends on number of freight / booking orders.
Right.
And also in TM, you would have then profitability analysis.
Right.
Based on.
Yeah, one more thing we forgot to mention is the EM integration, maybe. So you could also track and trace, but I think that is anyway a different
separate topic.
We have also BW, where we hand over data for further analysis. So this was not discussed in that session.
Exactly. Maybe one thing we jumped over is the house bill of lading. I think that is important in the LCA process, so maybe you should also...
I think at the beginning we mentioned that the house file, was called earlier days, and we create a forwarding order, but certainly a house bill of lading number is drawn based on certain house building strategies that we offer, and there are certainly also different scenarios in place, like the buyer's console, shipper's console, where we need to look into the depths, but finally there's a house bill of lading, which I communicate to you as a shipper.
Okay. And I think it's important that it's on freight unit route level. As we said, the freight unit is defined by traveling end to end together, and the house bill of lading has kind of the same definition. And then so far it's on the level. Some specials on by a shipper's console, but that will be another episode then, I think.
Yeah.
Did we forget anything for the generic process, or I think we are...
I mean, certainly with TM9O, new is the service aspect, where all those services and service products could play a role, or SOPs, the standard operating procedures, where you tell the employees in your stations what to do and what are the tasks to execute this process.
Perhaps we might have a... conversation for that.
Yeah. I think target for today was kind of going to end, but it's very, as you said, maybe that SOP, standard operation procedures, that's a relevant aspect also. That, but I think maybe we can have another deeper dive on special aspects of LCL later. But okay, SOPs is also something relevant for FCL or for AIR, or thing that is not so LCL specific, right?
Yeah.
I mean, good. It was a kind of fast forward.
Exactly, I think. That is, just a high level. And there, of course, well, as we already mentioned, the things like buyer's console, shipper's console, that we didn't touch but cover in our system. Then we have things like co-loads. Maybe just briefly to mention, so if I don't have a full container and the only thing that would be in the container is my 6 pallets, it doesn't make sense to have that container, and then I could send that an LCL booking again to another
NVLCC, another freight forwarder.
Freight forwarder, which would fill that container.
Right.
Maybe that's a special, but basically that would again be an booking
Or I do it on my receive also load from other freight forwarders, which is then.
Then for me, it's pretty much
it's
the same thing.
It's pretty much the same as a normal LCL then.
But maybe the special thing is that I can't fill a container. So then I decide that I have to do that also as an LCL. And then I, instead of having FCL booking, I would have an LCL booking then and then subcontract that to another freight forwarder.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Which will also run TM then, of course. And then the same process will start again.
All run
so
TM.
Let's start. So that's a season. No. Okay. Good. I think that's it for today. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
We covered that process pretty holistically and still high level, but I hope that we were able to give a certain insight on how that end-to-end process is done.
I mean, it was meant as an overview,
exactly.
As a start.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye and have fun with LCL.